You're listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America.
Hey guys, we're back with another episode of The Soul Chronicles, the podcast exploring life and times in the sneaker, sports, and entertainment industries. I'm the co-host, Mohammeda El-Muhajir, along with...
Hey everybody, it's Nikita Newell Hall. Welcome back.
Yay! So today's episode is about one of the top, I'm going to say, like, he's hard to even classify. You know, you can't really put him in one particular genre. He's pop, he's R&B, he's soul, he's kind of like everything. So it's Usher.
Yeah, this is a really fun one, though. I'm so excited to talk about Usher and some of the experiences that I've had working alongside of him and just kind of like a long history there. So This is going to be a really good one, Mohammed, I think.
Yeah. So Nikita, I just remember like you always like being on the phone with his mom, Momager. So what kinds of things were you doing with Usher? Like, you know, I know you probably work with him a lot, just giving him product, but I know you did some pretty big projects with him that have inspired you since then too. So, you know, tell us about it.
Yeah, so really, I think my first affiliation and knowledge of Usher came when I was at the NBA. And we would book him through Sherry and through the amazing, incomparable Tashawn Macon, who was really one of the forces at LaFace Records back then. And he was young, you know, 15, 16-year-old kid, really having a lot of excitement and fascination with the game of basketball. And so I think that's really where it started because, you know, part of my job was booking celebrities to attend All-Star events or to appear in different types of content or NBA property. So that's where I first came across him or heard of him through Tashawn and the crew over at LaFace. And then when I went to Nike.
I just think about 15 and 16-year-old Usher. I remember like hanging out and being out in New York. And I guess at some point, the record label or a management, I'm not sure who, sent him to go and live with P. Diddy, right? I don't know, to get like swag training or something. Like, I don't know what that was, but I just remember that he was like this young teenager hanging out in New York at the clubs, at the parties, you know, basically a kid, you know, and I think I heard him even doing an interview recently and they asked him, okay, you're a parent now. Would you allow something like this to happen with your child? He was like, absolutely not. No way. He went through it, but he was like, I can't even believe they allowed this to happen. So yeah, just talking about teenage Usher in the industry.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, I did work with quite a few, you know, teenagers or really young people, whether it was Britney when she was young or NSYNC and, you know, Brandy and Monica, you know, they were all young. They all started out really young. And maybe that was an era where there were just a lot of young artists and that was the trend at the time. So, and sometimes, you know, we would meet people even younger than that when they were just like in the grooming stages, right? They'd just gotten signed. And sometimes back then, I think, and again, I'm not a music industry guru, so don't even try to come for me. What I'm saying is, what I remember is, you know, sometimes they might be under contract for 2 or 3 years before they even put a record out because they were going through that grooming phase and, you know, making the record. Whereas now I think people come with their own record, mastered music video, everything, and they just ready, you know, seems like. But yeah, so I first met him at the NBA and then I went over to Nike and he was a huge fan of the brand and just developed a great rapport with him, with his mom, Janetta, and his little brother, James, who at the time, I don't know, James, maybe 9, I don't know. But so yeah, they were definitely one of the families that I took a liking to. And it was mainly because I think of just their humanity and how down to earth they were. And it seemed like there was a lot of effort around keeping him grounded and keeping him respectful and keeping him in his spirituality in terms of realizing, yeah, you have a gift and you have a unique opportunity to give this gift to the world, but also you know, you're not going to be allowed to be one of these child stars who is doing all the things, and especially in a very public way, right? So that's what really drew me to them. And then, like I said, he was always so super respectful and kind, and you know, I didn't mind spending time with them or having him in or sending him all the latest and greatest stuff before it even came out, right? And I know even with James, his little brother, we have this thing where, of course, I would send stuff for him. I'm gonna send stuff for James too. I'm not gonna just send it for him. But I would always make James send me his report card. So I would be like, look, let me see what them grades do.
Right.
And then I'm gonna see what this do, right? Of course, I was gonna send it to him anyway, but just trying to have that extra little incentive that, mm-hmm. you know, if you do well in school, then I'm gonna hook you up.
Right.
So that was my kind of like affinity for the family. And then, you know, back then, product placement and brand integration was a thing. So I would always work with his stylist to be sure that we were coordinating a lot of his outfits, whether it was for album or CD covers, or if he was going to be on MTV.
Styling him back then?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say Tamika.
Okay. I was wondering if she was doing, I don't know how early in his career he started.
I want to say Tamika to a degree. I really met her though, because I adore her as well. I know she was doing a lot with Patti LaBelle, and Patti Webster, may she rest in peace, was my dear friend and sister who rep Patti LaBelle, who I knew Tamika through. And so that's how I first met her. But then I do think she started styling a couple of other people. I do think it was her. And then you know who else styled him for a while?
Oh.
Who else was Jamie, my former assistant, who also used to work with us at Nike.
Jamie was styling Usher?
Girl, yes.
What?
Who now is a graduate of USC's film school, the first ever George Lucas scholar at USC. Her new film, Waitina, is playing on JetBlue and in other places streaming. So shout out Jay Sean Smith. I really was introduced to the power of philanthropy by Usher.
Wow.
He is the reason really why I have a dual career in entertainment, still consulting with brands and celebrities, but also really deeply entrenched in the world of philanthropy because of Usher. You know, he started Usher's New Look. Mm-hmm. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to give Black and brown children the experience of learning about behind the scenes job opportunities in the entertainment business.
Okay.
From his perspective, there was more to being in entertainment than just, I want to be an actor, I want to be a dancer, I want to be a singer. He was wanting to let children know, and he still does, that you could be a lighting director, you can be a writer, you could be a talent scout. You could be a set decorator. You can be a director, right? There's so many things behind the scenes. You could be a wardrobe stylist, right? You could be a creator. You can create a show. But none of that really requires you to be out front and wanting to be. And again, you know, he started this in an era where that was the rage. Everybody wanted to be a rapper. Everybody wanted to be a singer, an entertainer. I want to be in front of the camera. And from his perspective, what our real power could be is behind the camera as we are shaping some of these content pieces. So he had asked me to help serve on the selection committee. And what would happen is he would, at the time, fund bringing children from various states to Atlanta for a summer program where he would put them up at Clark Atlanta University. Mm-hmm. And would bring in all of these entertainment professionals and would do seminars with them. You know, they would have different types of activities where, you know, they would be putting on their own shows or whatever, but they would be doing all the behind the scenes stuff, right? I don't remember the full curriculum, but the gist of it was they were getting some hands-on experience about what it meant to work behind the scenes in the entertainment business, but they were also getting exposure to people, some of which who looked like them, who were doing these jobs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he asked me to serve on the selection committee, which meant I would help them interview and pick the kids who could come to camp, at least the kids from LA. Mm-hmm. And then also I helped with some brand and corporate partnership opportunities for the campers. So getting like every camper a pair of sneakers and a backpack and, you know, water bottles and just what brands could we get to come in and support. So yeah, that okay. was my
I was just wondering how you got involved. So, but that makes sense because you worked at a brand who supported him. And so he was like, I'm doing this initiative. I want you to be on board with it. And then you can also help me get some other brands on board. It was kind of like,
exactly.
That. Okay.
Right. And then also the selection piece, like help us identify. So, you know, we went through a few days of, you know, interviewing kids and just talking to kids and just figuring like, who are the kids who are going to benefit from this the most? And so from that perspective, yes, that was a great introduction to philanthropy and just watching someone at the time, I'm saying, I don't know how it's structured today, but at the time use their own money to fly these kids in, put them up, mm-hmm. and then give them this experience. And there might've been other contributors along the way, but I do know that he was funding a lot of it. So that in and of itself was impactful for me, but what was more impactful is that I actually had a friend of mine who worked for me, who had a relative and was like, oh my gosh, can you please get my person into this camp? Like, this would be so good for them. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm on the selection committee in LA. So, you know, I gave him all the details and, you know, she worked with her person and prepped them and they legitimately came in and were great in the interview. So of course, I mean, I do think I had a little bit of influence, but the person in their own right deserved to be at this camp. So they came to Clark Atlanta, went through the program, loved the school, because remember they stayed on campus, mm-hmm. later applied to Clark Atlanta, got accepted, graduated with a 4-year degree.
What?
Then went on to college to get a master's degree. And today is the cutest little travel blogger, influencer, teaches internationally at times. And so I really saw the impact of philanthropy, mm-hmm. right? So it's one thing to imagine that if you are philanthropic and you are creating pathways for people who don't have access, that's a good thing, right? That's just obvious. But when you actually see the impact, well, for me, when I saw the impact, it drove me to say, that's what I want my life to be. That's what I want my life to be like. And I didn't understand it at the time when I was talking with Usher and his team about this philanthropic effort. He was saying, you know, I don't want to just be known as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously I've had an entertainment career, but I also want to be known as a philanthropist. And that just didn't really gel to me at the time. I was like, well, okay, but you know, you are one of the biggest entertainers in the world. So there's that. After I had this experience, I understood what he meant. Because the reality is, yeah, you may touch billions of lives through a song. We're going to make love in the club. Or whatever it is, right? Wonderful. But how many lives can you truly change, impact? And from those lives, how many families, how many generations, you know, you send the kids to college or give them this kind of exposure, what you're really doing is you're uplifting the entire community from the ground level. So to me, I think, and why I have so much admiration for him, is he's one of these people who's really doing a top to bottom work from a societal standpoint. So yeah, I'm up here, I'm on stage, I'm influencing billions of people, but then I'm also in the trenches in our own community, creating very viable pathways for things that kids are very interested in that can really help change the dynamic of an entire family and generations on the backs of this one kid.
Do you know if it's still going on?
Yeah, I think it is. You can look it up. It's ushersnewlook.org.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but so to me, that is the definition of an ultimate influencer, right? We throw that term around a lot today. And, you know, you and I kind of really started this influencer work from our perspective. But to me, that's the person, because you're influencing culture at a very high level, pop culture, but you're also influencing our culture as a people because you are giving kids in particular, but families, an opportunity to dig themselves out of poverty through opportunity, right? So to me, he is definitely an icon and influencer, even to this day, wouldn't you say?
Are you kidding? Usher like just has not stopped. Every time you think, okay, his time is up. Yeah, I mean, because you know the nature of the industry, right? Not like you just think that his time is up, but you know, most people just kind of fade away, but he kind of like does not stop. He has not stopped. I know he's probably still one of the top selling artists of all times, I'm sure. And like I said, still influencing, because I'm ready to go roller skating because of Usher right now.
Girl. Those roller skating videos of him are a whole entire vibe on their own.
Usher is like this roller skating king. I see that it's a part of his show too. You know what I mean? And the new skating rinks that have opened up, one is in Rockefeller Center, which normally they had an ice skating rink, but now they've turned it into a roller skating rink. And they engaged Usher to come for the opening and sort of, you know, bring all his cool friends. I saw Meek Mill, I saw Floyd Mayweather, Jermaine Dupri, a bunch of people who were there with Usher, just creating that hype. And like I said, Usher is still influencing, because I'm going to be in New York soon, and I'm headed straight to Rockefeller Center to go and roller skate because of Usher.
Right, you're making me want to go get some skates. I love it. And you know, again, just a lot of what we talk about in our podcast is, you know, hopefully geared toward people who want to make a foray into or some sort of entry into sports and entertainment. And we talk about relationships and the power of relationships. And it really was through my relationship with LaFace that I was able to have this relationship with him and then build it, especially to Sean Macon, you know, Shanti Das. Oh my God, we can never even think about talking about LaFace without shouting out Shanti Das and just the influence that she's had at the label in Atlanta, and now with her work with Silence the Shame, focusing on mental health awareness in our community. And then Sherry, of course. So yeah, I got to shout out all of my ATL LaFace people. DL Warfield.
Yeah. So listen, after like your involvement with his organization that one summer, I mean, was this an ongoing relationship, or was it just that one kind of year, or, you know, how did you continue to engage with them?
Yeah. No, I think I worked on it for a couple years. And then somebody approached me. I think he had an advisor at CAA, mm-hmm. Ryan. Hey, Ryan. At one point he was like, oh, I think, have you talked to Usher? I was like, no. He's like, oh, I think he was wanting to talk to you about running the foundation, right? And I was like, well, he ain't never said nothing to me about it. So until he says something to me about it, it's not a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, no, eventually I did, just from a time perspective, I had kids, you know, just all these things, wasn't able to focus on it as much as I had. So I think I worked on it for 2 years, maybe three. And then went on though to launch a philanthropy career, which I've been doing for about 8 years now. So, and which I will be doing for the rest of my life, because I do believe it's my life's work, my life's calling, how incredible you can get paid and do something that's really gonna change people's lives. So.
Like, have you ever told Usher this? This is like an amazing story.
You know what? It's funny that you're saying that. I don't think I have. No. Mm-mm. Because when I see him at this point, it would be in passing, right? So, right, you know, right. If I see him, of course, it's all love, love. But, you know, no, I don't think I've ever told this to him.
Wow. Wow. No, this is worth telling me. Yeah, it's always great to know when you've had an impact, such a huge impact like this on somebody's life and work. You know, usually we talk about how we impact other people, but this is just really wonderful to hear how somebody like Usher impacted somebody like you.
Yeah, 100%. And from being so young, because again, at that point, when he started the organization, he was still young. I mean, he wasn't a kid, but he was, you know, in his 20s, I would say. Wanting to do something really meaningful. So yeah, he 100% had me thinking more deeply about what my life would mean and what my life's work would mean. And for me personally, I'm thinking, yeah, it's great to give out free shoes to rich people, because that's essentially, if you boil it down, what we did. Right. But now I give out free shoes to kids in need, right? Through Shoes That Fit, which is one of the organizations that I'm closely aligned with. And again, I think from my perspective, you know, the kids that I'm able to impact, and, you know, we help over 100,000 kids each year, I can definitely link that right back to him, because I'm only doing this work because, you know, he sparked that interest. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is such a feel-good story. I mean, I'm excited. This makes me more of a fan of Usher, just, you know, hearing about his philanthropic work and hearing about how he has changed lives and inspired others, including you. So shout out to you, Usher, and I will be at the skating rink. I don't know if I'm gonna have your smooth moves, but I'm gonna work on it.
Straight with the roll bounce. But yeah, you know, and I think too, Muhammad, I hope that people hear this and realize they can be philanthropic in their own ways, right? Whether you're providing a meal for somebody on the street, or whether, you know, through like some of the work you're doing in Africa, you know, starting an art program, you know, where you can donate, you know, any amount of funds, $25, $30 to help a kid be able to, you know, practice their art, you know, and be more creative, which we know that having creativity and having access to the arts really does impact how kids perform academically and socially, right? So I think the call out and the call to action from this episode is for all of us to just do whatever that one little piece is that we can to positively influence someone else's life. And to me, in that regard, we're all philanthropists.
Yeah. And let me just tie back into Tamika, and just because it just hit me about inspiring people to do philanthropy. Okay, so I heard Tamika's name for years, never met her in person, met her in Ghana. Why was she in Ghana? Yeah. Because her oldest son, who Usher is his stepfather, right? So yes. So it's Usher's stepson, and you will not believe this. Okay. So this, like, an amazing human. I mean, this kid, maybe like 20, 21, just graduated from University of Penn. He was a football player at University of Penn. His mom, Tamika, said she asked him, what do you want to do for graduation? You know what I mean? Like, you can go on a trip anywhere. She was thinking he was going to be like Hawaii, Greece, I mean, any place. He was like, I want to go to Africa and I want to give back. he wanted to do a football camp because football is what he does. And he was like, he wanted to do charity. That is the trip that he wanted to do. And now that you're saying it, I mean, I could just imagine how just growing up in a house with Usher as a dad being around that, I'm sure his mom and his biological dad, definitely had an impact too, but we're talking about Usher inspiring people to be philanthropic. And I could just think that there's probably a connection there. So that's what he wanted to do. Probably a week after he graduated, he was in Ghana doing a football camp with local kids, just teaching them the basics of football. And I think she said they're coming back this year too. So, so kudos to them as well. Okay, wow. So this was definitely an inspirational episode. Nikita, thank you so much for sharing the impact that Usher has made on you and that he has made through his music, through his philanthropy work. It was just, that was a wonderful story. I'm happy to have heard that. And I hope our listeners were just as inspired as well. So this is the end of the Usher episode. Definitely stay tuned to the Soul Chronicles. Follow us on all social media platforms at the Soul Chronicles. We love feedback. Lately, we've been getting some good feedback, Nikita. I just saw Bootsy Collins retweet our Jimmy Smith episode. So that was really huge. Check
it out. That is amazing.
Yeah, because it could get a little lonely out in podcasting world. Sometimes you don't really know
what's happening. You don't know who's out there.
You don't know if people are listening, if they love it or what's happening. So that was huge. So listeners, if you're listening, please, we beg, give us a little comment, a like, a shout, tell us something, keep us going, keep us inspired. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we need some kind of signs of life out there.
So with that, we are signing off. Thanks for listening, and please tune in to another episode of the Soul Chronicles very soon.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. Be sure to join us for another exciting episode.